Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to another edition of The Absolute Truth with your host, with the most, the High Rod, and on the line I have
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
Wow, the three amigos are back together again on this special Memorial Day weekend.
Yes, I would like to start off the show by two things. One, it's Memorial Day weekend. We want to remember all of the people that have either served or know of family members that have served the country, and all the whatever you think about war and fighting and whatever is the case, the ones that have actually sacrificed, they deserve to get the attention this weekend so that you remember what their sacrifice was. Second Anitra, I believe today is your birthday, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Yes, well, happy birthday, my friend.
Oh,
well,
happy
birthday.
Thank
you.
Thank you for not being too hungover to do the show today.
No problem.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much. And, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call in is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Now, let's get this party started, all right? Hey, you over there, behave yourself, okay? I'm doing a show right now.
You're talking to a little person over there?
Yes, he is.
Yes, he's going to operate the computer for me today.
Uh-oh.
Okay, let's get started. So last Sunday, May 17th, in Waco, Texas, everybody knows basically what happened. In a parking lot of the Twin Peaks restaurant, there was a little Sons of Anarchy, the show, remember that show?
Yes.
Biker gang. And they had a little fallout between a little bit rivals. 9 people got killed. Over 12 people were sent to the hospital. And over 170 people arrested in this little shindig that happened in Waco, Texas.
I like how you minimalized it. It's a shindig. All they were doing was dancing. And then all of a sudden, somebody stepped on somebody's foot, and then something happened.
Oh,
that's how it always happens. Actually, the incident happened in the bathroom. Then I guess they pissed on each other or something like that, and it came to straight outside. Luckily, none of the bystanders got hurt or got killed. It was only within the bike members. But the coverage about this was a little bit interesting. The reason why, because how can I say this in a positive light?
Oh, boy.
Most of them were white people. So the media did not portray their skin color. Not like it made a difference, because, what happened was wrong. But the media did not mention any race, nor did they mention there were any thugs going on, or use the term thugs, even though there was people with weapons. Knives, guns, and all type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. And, let's call it what it is. They were gangs. Plain and simple. It's not like they were just a couple people out in the street at random. These were biker gangs. That have hated each other, have known each other since the 60s. So this is kind of like a blood feud.
Yes. Well, the media, they talk about it for a little bit, and after that, they seem to, disappear. But it's... there were some black people involved, even though there were some black people in this gang. Let's give credit to that. But my thing is, why the media did not, use a race card in this thing? Because there was a line of bikers who's being arrested, and the cops was chilling with them while the bikers was on their phone. They're being arrested, but they have time to be on their phone. They got treated like people instead of the looters and everything else that happened in the Baltimore riots, they got treated as quote-unquote animals. Sean, okay, do you understand why that happened?
Well, if you look at the way the media covered everything, it was approached, the way the media brought it up on the news, it was approached in a completely different narrative. It was, instead of it being guys destroying each other, guys ripping up property, guys holding each other with guns and all of that other stuff, it was just portrayed as a big motorcycle gang war. Now, to give it a little bit of context, like I just said a little bit earlier, these two gangs, which it sounds like something right out of a cartoon, the Banditos and the Cossacks. Literally sounds like something out of a Looney Tunes cartoon. Yeah. They basically, both gangs originated in Texas in the 60s, and they've been at each other back and forth on and off for since then. So there's some history involved. Now, you would think that when the media had actually taken care and looked at this, that they would have maybe used that much more so in the narrative as they described everything. But it didn't seem like that was the case. Like you said, it was brought that, big gang, motorcycle gang fight. A lot of bikers, like you said, 170 bikers got arrested. You know, there wasn't that doom and gloom that you would follow behind something as ridiculous as this huge fight. But as you hit it right there, the media didn't cover this anywhere near the fervor as what happened in Baltimore. Nowhere near.
No, but as they treated the people in Baltimore, yes, what they did were wrong. I'm not condoning what they did, going back to our prior shows. But they treated these people like animals. Most of these guys that did a protest did not carry weapons. Okay, some of them did throw rocks. And retaliation, yes, or throw bottles. But you have a bunch of gang members that carry weapons,
yes,
and they got treated like human beings.
Go figure. And it's interesting.
Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
It's quite interesting when you think about the culture in certain areas of the country when it comes to something like this. Now, had something like this happened in, let's say, New York City, this would be all over the place. This would have it would be on the 6 o'clock news, the 5 o'clock news, 10 and 11, and every other news outlet in between, because it would have happened in New York. Since this happened in Texas, which a lot of people figure motorcycle gang wars are normal down in the Texas area, that culture is involved. Those are the kinds of things that people are going to look at. Now, if this happened, let's say, if it happened in California, or if it happened in Florida, definitely wouldn't have had the same same pungency of the story as if it would have happened in, let's say, New York. But this happened in Texas. It's normal. It's quote-unquote what Texans do, and that's one of the reasons why you didn't hear anything about it. Now what you said before as far as the race issue, I'm trying to figure out how this would have been approached if this was on the same scale. Where would they approach it? What would be the undertone involved if they actually talk about it? If this had anything to do with a racial slant, what would have happened?
Anitra, can you answer that?
Yeah, I don't think race had anything to do with it. That's probably why it wasn't mentioned like that. And it's also where it was.
Yeah.
I believe it's all location. Because like Sean said, if this happened, like what happened in, what was it, last year with the bikers when they surrounded that SUV going,
yes,
up on Henry Hudson, that was all over the news. It was in every newspaper.
Exactly.
It was everywhere, but because it happens where it happens, that's why I didn't get much media coverage.
Yeah. Now,
which it should have, because it's a big deal. There's a lot involved.
Exactly. I think that what a lot of people also don't realize, like I said before, this was a war. I keep saying war, but there is a lot. It was a feud between those two groups, the Banditos and the Cossacks. As I said before, both of these gangs originated in around the 60s. And just to give you a little more background, the Banditos were formed in 1966. The Cossacks were formed in 69. Both of them becoming really big motorcycle groups And if you're in the New York area and you just frequent Brooklyn, Manhattan, certain parts of Queens, you will see motorcycle gangs, or not even gangs, more like clubs, where they go. It's almost like a lodge where you would, you know, they would drive, hang out with their friends and talk whatever they talk, and then hang out with other motorcycle riders, and then they would ride around. It's usually harmless from what I've seen, as far as, you know, if you're on the bus or you walk around, and you'll see groups of motorcycles in certain areas of the city. But that's normal. But this is like culture for certain areas in Texas. So this is nothing new. But these are rival gangs. Now, there was actually an issue last year. Two members of the Bandidos were actually indicted on charges of stabbing two men. And this was actually a conflict between the Cossacks. So this is almost like some, you know, Hatfield and McCoy kind of thing, where they legitimately have beef with each other. But it wasn't presented as such because it's the culture, and it will always be portrayed in a particular way based on where it happened.
Well, true, but I brought this up because, of course, social media is always a good side and a bad side, and of course they have to talk about race. But no matter what we do now these days, always relate to race, always compare to something else, even though it's two separate incidents between a riot and a gang.
Yes.
Two different people, two different states. Still, you got to play the race card inside because to see there's any race factor in it, a.k.a. white privilege in this.
Hmm.
Like you say, Sean, if this was...
Go ahead.
No, if this was like black people who done this in Coney Island or Spanish people, will they receive the same treatment? In New York, maybe. In Texas, you never know. That's a question people keep asking themselves because, you know, since we're into the race world lately and what we keep talking about is the race, if there was more black people than white people, well, everything would be handled differently. Well, there would be more killing. Or more, God knows, another riot for God knows whatever reason.
Or that's even more so, right, if the eight people that were killed, if all of them were black and the ones that were arrested were either white or some other nationality or of another race, then what would have happened as far as that actual narrative goes, as far as the news? Then we would have had something completely different.
Well, like Anisha always says, the media love negativity. They like to bring they like to pick on people's minds and get them thinking and start talking.
Because that's itself.
Well,
yes.
It's a sad situation, but hey. Wow, okay. Sorry, folks, we're going to do like a lot of topics like out of the way today because we're a little bit in a rush because today is the holiday and Anisha has to still celebrate her birthday. Sean got barbecuing to do, and
of course
I have to watch my little one over here.
Yes.
And throwing things at me right now.
the young king of kings.
Yeah.
The young, oh my God, yeah.
Okay, on to the next topic. Have you ever gone to Google Map and type in the N-word house this past week, Sean?
I didn't, but I did hear about somebody that did.
So earlier this week... I know you did.
Well,
making that
well,
you
did
are.
You see the article in the paper? I was curious. I was
yes,
also
I was...
pleasantly surprised that they took it down pretty much immediately. That was a pleasant surprise.
Yes.
It's not surprising to me.
I was happy to see that.
Yes. Now, Hot Rod, for those that don't know what the heck we're talking about, please explain to the people out there where we're going
with
this.
Well, this week on social media, of course, was everything social media these days.
Yeah.
There was outrage on Google Maps when you type in the word and the N-word house on the Google Map, and what pop up is 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Could that be the address of the White House, perhaps?
Oh, that's what it is. So basically, on Google Maps, you're saying that the N-word house is the White House. Because, what's the color of our president right now?
I don't think it's white.
You know what? His color is Hawaiian. He's a Hawaiian president. Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Anisha. I'm not surprised. someone in Google knew about this and they let it slide. Who did it? Who knows? But it sparked outrage, and they issued an apology later on and took it down right away. Like, really?
Well,
but my question is, who started this? And how did they know to type in the N-word house?
Well,
you know?
See, who knows?
This is what happens, and this is the world we live in, where everything is internet search related, queries involved of particular items. We know Google, just like Bing, just like any other search engine, is internet driven, search related. So anybody that puts in a search for a particular item is going to get cross-referenced in the computer and in their search engine with certain things that are searched. Now, we all know not everybody is searching for something that's legitimate, and it takes references from other searches, and then it cross-references with that, and then takes you to where the search engine believes you're trying to go. And if the search engine gets a certain amount of replies or hits to a particular search, it's going to take you to what it thinks you're looking for. In this case, with this being put in the search engine and cross-reference over and over again, and a whole lot of racists being out there just trying to either be funny or trying to be stupid or just being racist, type these in, it cross-references those and sends you straight to what it thinks you want. And in this case, typing in N-word house is White House to anybody that was being racist and has any racial thoughts toward the president and the White House and what everything that is involved in there. Now, like you said, Google actually, they took it down real quick, as Anitra brought up. They had no choice but to take it down as quickly as humanly possible because Google has had issues in the past. I don't know if you heard about this, maybe a couple weeks ago. Google Maps got hit with something before where somebody went on Google Maps and they usually the part of Google Maps is one of those things that you can actually go ahead and have user customization to put in for maps. If you put in a certain coordinates, you would actually get the Android logo urinating on the Apple logo in a particular part of California on Google Maps.
Oh,
so,
really?
Yes. So Google is not absolved of this because they've had these kinds of things happen before. I also remember some time back they had a that's what it was. There was somebody who I believe was killed or died, and the Google Maps where they actually – the Street View actually had a picture of the dead body in the Google – the Street View. So they had issues with that. This was years. It was like a couple of years ago.
Well, Google got some issues then.
Yes, they've had a lot of hiccups happen over the last few years, and that's something that they had to clean up. But this is just ridiculous, you know. I mean, it happens only with Google, it seems. I don't remember ever hearing anything about this with Bing and the other search engine. So
yeah, but it's like, how disrespectful can a president could take overall?
Yes.
It's like, really? Out of all the presidents, you got to type in that and you get the White House indeed? So here's my question for Anitra. What happened, let's say, a woman get elected to the White House? And I type in bitch house, and that shows up.
I would hope that Google would do what they did now and remove that immediately. Some idiot is going to do something like that. We all know this.
Who's to say that it hasn't been done already?
Exactly.
True.
But I'm just saying, it didn't happen, but I'm just hoping that this company would have brains enough to know what's going on and delete it as soon as they see it.
Exactly.
True, but how about when you have a first gay president and you type in the F-word house and you get that, or the rainbow house? It's like basically
exactly.
The racism and sexism will continue no matter who will be in the White House unless it's a white man.
Yeah.
Of course.
Now, this is the official argument brought up by Google executive Jen Fitzpatrick. And she had apologized for the situation, and she said they'd been working hard to fix the issue. As Anitra said, they had already fixed it. But this is what she explained. Our ranking systems are designed to return results that match a person's query. for Google Maps, this means using content about businesses and other public places from across the web. And then they said that offensive terms, quote, were triggering unexpected map results, typically because people had used the offensive term in online discussions of that place. This surfaced inappropriate results that users were likely not looking for, end quote. So that's the official word that they use from Google about the situation. So I think that going forward, Google is going to probably have to be a lot more diligent in making sure something like this doesn't happen again. But when you're trying to police the internet, which has how many billions and billions of hits per day, how do you police all of that?
You can. Something will slip up, of course. But you tell me that's a major slip up.
Yes.
Not like, you know, you type in the N-word and my house pop up, you know.
Oh, good grief.
You know, hello. But yeah. Out of all the places, 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue pops up?
Of course. No other address popped up, you know, nothing else. And as we spoke about this on a previous show, about the reason why a lot of things happen in this country is because of the race of the president, and how a lot of people are trying to kind of deny that that is being the case, when we really all know that there is an underlying racism that has either been quiet for the first term, and then as the second term went through, it just was it's really out there now. And you're starting to see it in these kinds of ways, and they're popping up much more often now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say about this anymore. With the racism and sexism will continue. So I just can't wait. If we do have a woman president, when the sex jokes comes in. Like you said before, racism is common, but it would be a lot worse when we have a woman president, if that happened one day. But the lack of respect will really be gone.
Yes.
Like, Obama gets his respect to a certain degree because he's a man. Well, let's say Hillary goes win the election. I'm sorry, Anisha. They will lose a lot of respect because she's a woman.
And
unfortunately, you're right, but it needs to happen, and we will have a woman president.
Yeah, and I stated this before, and I actually had discussions with other people that have listened to it. I said before, I said sexism, I think, is a much bigger problem than racism, in the sense that at least, even with racism involved, if an African American and a woman, same pay grade, same experience, look for a job, chances are that male will get the job at full salary, as opposed to the female who will either not get the job or get the job and only make 70 cents on the dollar. That's much more pervasive than a lot of the racism that goes on. It's still a systematic issue, but sexism is much more prevalent.
Yes, it is. And it's pathetic, and it's ridiculous, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Tell us how you truly feel, Anitra.
you sound angry, Anitra. Why? Because you're a woman in a male-dominated world?
Exactly. And it's pathetic. I'm just as educated, more so in some cases, than my counterparts, and I have to work twice as hard to prove my point. It's annoying. I do it just to, so I can tell people to go shove it, but it does get annoying.
I think we have to go from Anitra B to Anitra X.
Oh, please. Anitra knows herself as a woman to shut her mouth and keep and have a seat somewhere. She knows better than that. She's not going to win in this male-dominant world. Please.
No, I have. I'm winning because I don't let it get to me. And I just keep pushing forward. I don't sit there like some people do, which you know I can't stand, and get in my own way. I just keep it moving.
That definitely makes sense.
But what do you say to all the ladies who try to make it out there that's having a hard time and don't have the same willpower?
We all have it. You're not a person who's successful because they don't want to be. You want to be successful, and you have the drive. You go do it. I did it. We've all done it. There's no excuse.
I think my little me trying to say something right now. You have something to say, little me? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. And that's your opinion. That's the bottom line, because he said so. Okay.
Of course.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry, but, you know, daddy duty is daddy duty, and I'm proud to be a daddy. And I'm doing the show and watching my prince at the same time.
Yes.
Well, I think the prince is watching me.
Perfectly fine. He comes first.
Yes.
Understandable.
Mm-hmm.
Just
okay,
please,
well,
try not to drop the child. You know, it's just please.
No. I did not have any cranberry juice yet, so I'm okay.
Okay.
I am.
Oh, well, it's your birthday, so you're entitled.
But, I plan on having plenty of cranberry juice.
Yes. You're only 65 years old. Go ahead, girl. Do your thing.
Yes.
Do you hear?
Yes.
Okay,
just
well,
to jog everybody's memory, the number to call, 347-989-8402. If you want to call up the show and you have any comments or questions or anything related to what we brought up, or if you just want to say hello. Hopefully you have more than just hello, but we'll take that too.
Yeah, I don't want no hello. Please, I want response.
You
want
pestilence
action.
And death. You want fire and brimstone. That's what you want.
I'm like, we're not doing it today because we're in a rush, but trust
yes.
me, the next show, I'll guarantee I will bring
oh, yeah.
one.
Yes, the Hot Rod and I, we talked before we went on the air, and we're going to have a huge show next week.
Yeah,
and
hopefully.
Hot Rod knows exactly what I'm talking about. Like I said, we just spoke about it literally 5 minutes before we went on the air. And if the show goes the way I think it is, it'll be just as large as the show we had a couple weeks back.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a crazy topic that we're going to bring up next week.
Talk about craziness. Do you know that there's a way to hack an airplane now?
Oh, really?
You can hack anything.
Yeah.
Oh.
True, but you know who thought about this? Last week, Chris Roberts, a researcher at One World Labs, told the FBI, I don't know why he did this, that he hacked it into planes 50 to 20 times already, and he hacked it into NASA. Okay, he was on the plane with a laptop, with some Wi-Fi, with airplanes get Wi-Fi now, and there's a way he hacked it into the system. Now, should we be very concerned about this situation?
I would think so.
why is it surprising to
you?
You I don't understand why this is so surprising. You can if there's a computer, there's a way to hack into it. That's a fact.
If somebody can hack into, can take a video game controller and hack a toy helicopter and rig it with bombs or guns or whatever they want, if they can do that with a toy, then you can imagine what they can do on a large scale with a plane, with a bus. Any electronics, anything that has any computer chips involved can be hacked. There was something that went on some time ago where, you know, people that are getting into buying smart TVs, you know, the ones that have Wi-Fi browsers and all of that other good stuff in it.
You can hack into those.
You can hack into those. It's been done. So
I know.
And this is the crazy thing about it. In this society where everybody wants to be fully connected to the Internet and to everything else, the last thing you would expect would be somebody getting on a plane that's 30, 40,000 feet in the air and using a laptop and controlling controlling something from the cockpit or getting rid of cabin pressure or doing something related to messing with the electronics of the plane. Now,
so
I find this absolutely positively scary and also surprising that this has not happened more often. Just due to the fact that everybody is so reliant on bringing their devices and bringing in, you know, their tablets and their miniature video game systems and their phones and those kinds of things. I'm surprised something like this hasn't happened already, and it hasn't happened more often.
Who's saying it hasn't? They just haven't publicized it. Who's saying it hasn't happened?
Good point. That's a really good point.
But like I told Anisha yesterday, like it's funny how in the world today we depend on technology, but the technology has like ruined our lives to a certain degree. that if something happens to it, we don't know what to do.
Exactly. We
and
are
like,
so. I think society, and Hot Rod, you'll probably attest to this. We are so dependent on everything technological, and I'll give it to you from an even a much more basic ideal. It's not a wide secret that you have an iPhone. And anytime you transfer over, let's say you get a new phone, new iPhone, or any new phone in general, and you switch over, it takes a while for whatever contacts you have in your phone to switch over to the new phone. So if your phone goes out, and a lot of people do this, unless they have written something down, they have no idea or even remember, unless there's a couple of numbers that they call on a regular basis, they don't know what numbers belong to who. And a lot of people that I know of have at least minimum 100 contacts in their phone. And if that something happens to that phone, then something is you don't know who to call, what's going to happen, and I'm pretty sure you would lose your mind if you couldn't call or didn't have your phone contacts in front of you.
Well, the only numbers that I know right now in my head is my own, baby mama drama, and my job.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the ones I call the most, of course.
Yes.
Your number, Anisha's number, even the number to this podcast, which is 347-989-8402, I would not remember that.
Yes. And go figure, you've known me for over 20 years, and you still don't remember my number. So that should tell you something.
Yeah, about you. Let's be honest. I'm not dating you, damn it.
Well, I hope not.
Well, that's something we could talk after the show. But besides that.
Well, I guess you really want the absolute truth then.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Think about it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, think about it, ladies and gentlemen. You're in a plane, riding, relaxing, playing your games, and some stranger is taking over, and I'm like, basically, we're giving the terrorists more ideas to counterattack us one day. So
exactly.
Crazy terrorists, I'm not saying any religion, I'm just saying a terrorist or someone who wants to get back at us, could hop on a plane, override the system, and crash easily. And there's nothing no one could do. So was this guy right to tell the FBI, was he right to make public awareness about the situation, about the system?
Well, here's one thing. We know that certain law firms and certain security companies that actually are responsible for doing security checks, they will actually hire criminals that have hacked systems to beef up their security for their IT department. So if this guy is claiming as a security researcher that that's the main reason why he did it, was to make sure that these kinds of things don't happen, it's something that you want to listen to. Now, here's the other thing. Like you just stated, and you brought up a really good point. You don't know who's listening to this stuff. So who gets the idea to do X, Y, and Z? Who's going to go and get the knowledge that they need to find out and research that it takes to disable a plane or a helicopter or take a drone and fly it into there's a number of things that could happen that are actually scary to think about. But this is the FBI we're talking about here. And if the FBI is asking what you should do to get this taken care of, that should tell you on a wide scale that this is something that is much deeper than we know about. And to Anitra's point, who knows how often this has happened?
It hasn't happened before. I mean, I definitely do not agree with them, you know, making this public, because I honestly don't feel that the public can handle this kind of information.
Exactly.
Oh, that's why we're talking about it right now, because I'm very concerned about this. But this is
yeah,
the
you should be.
But this isn't new information. This is something that the government has known about for years,
yes.
Decades. This is not new, but it's not put out there because the public can't handle it.
Exactly. Now,
and
this
I don't
is...
blame them. I don't want. I fly often. I don't want that in my head. I don't blame them for not telling us.
The last thing you need in the back of your head is another worry. Most
exactly.
people, I think, when they fly a plane, they have enough to worry about, or they're going to lose my luggage. Am I going to be able to sit down and have somebody throw up on me? Am I going to get air sick? You don't want to worry about, is the plane going to lose cabin pressure and we're going to crash right into the ocean because somebody decided to take Candy Crush and turn it into something that's going to change the way the plane flies.
Well, so, that'd be a plane crush then.
Oh, ba-dum-dum. He's doing parties and bar mitzvahs, everybody.
No pun intended, of course.
Of course. But see, the reason, as you stated, but as far as Chris Roberts, his advice is that he had identified vulnerabilities with IFE systems of Boeing 737-800s, I should say 737-800s and 737-900 planes. So he figures by doing that, that they can fix the vulnerabilities in the planes so that no one can hack into them. As I said before, and as you stated, I don't know why you would bring this to the public's eye right now. Especially, it's one thing if this was something that was decommissioned, if it was classified information, and then it was already taken care of, and then they brought it out. But to bring it out while the problem is still persistent or a potential problem, I don't know how sensible that would have been.
Well. Ladies and gentlemen, all I can tell you is to go out there and pray before you fly. You know, but you know what? Life goes on, and that's what it is. Wow. Oh, sorry. I'm doing like three things at one time right now.
I can hear.
Okay. Hey, it's not easy being sober and being a daddy and doing a show at the same time.
Yes. That is what you call multitasking.
And talk about multitasking. Talk about multitasking. Earlier this week on Facebook, the Facebook mom, Valerie Stark, is known as a hero and a villain at the same time because she shamed her daughter, 13 years old, for posting on Facebook on her page that she's a freak. And of course, she's yelling at her daughter because her daughter was posting pictures of herself that she's 19 years old and pictures of herself wearing lingerie. And she was getting acceptance, you know, a Facebook request from guys three times her age. So was her mother right for embarrassing her on Facebook?
No. I disagree with that. I think this is when you discipline, you're the privacy of your own
home. What happened?
I said when you're disciplining your child, I don't agree when they go on Facebook and social media and, you know, make it public. I don't agree with that. But you do that in the privacy of your own home.
Yeah, go ahead. People that have listened to the show have know my position on shaming people on the internet. It doesn't go away.
Yeah.
You do something like that online, and it's almost as if the parent is not necessarily seeking approval for what she's doing. I vacillated back and forth between whether she was right to do it or actually was what she did the right thing because of the end result. Now, a 13-year-old on Facebook or any other social media site for that matter, you go on saying, oh, I'm 18 or I'm 19. And show pictures of, lingerie, say that the mother was a drug dealer, was doing all those kinds of things. And you're portraying yourself completely different. Now, to discipline that child, I have no problem disciplining the child. The issue is, and I've stated this
before.
Hold on
one second, Sean.
Yeah.
Hold on one second. Caller?
Yes, hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hello?
Hey, it's me, K-Dog.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
So far, so good. Can't complain.
Well, sorry for tuning in late. It's like I had a little problem hearing it.
No problem.
Sean, listening to you guys talking about what's been going on, especially with that mother disciplining her child on Facebook. Well, I feel that, now, with all this social media, a lot of kids have been getting into a lot of trouble with this. You know, going on these social media websites, especially Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever have you, going on there, exposing a lot of things that shouldn't be exposed, and also putting up inappropriate pictures. And I just want to say that, what do you guys think about, you know, with that mother disciplining her child? Do you think that she went the wrong way or she went the right way?
My honest opinion, as I was saying a little earlier, you go back and forth, and you know how I feel about shaming anybody on the internet, because I've talked about it before.
Right.
My thing is, does what she did justify the end game as to what she's getting to? And I think on the only reason why I don't have as much of a problem with this one, although I am still against it,
yeah,
is the fact that she's identifying that she's 13 years old.
Right.
And this is to tell potential, I guess, clients or whatever that was trying to get to her Facebook page that she's,
yeah,
one, underage, and two, you never know if,
yeah,
she actually went through with any of this stuff.
Exactly.
And then one of the people goes onto the Facebook page, she meets up with her, and the next thing you know, you find her dead in a ditch somewhere.
That's
now,
exactly
the mother, the background of the mother is that she was, she served jail for selling drugs distributing marijuana.
Yeah.
And she's having a hard time trying to find and keep a job. So what,
yeah,
her ideal behind it is, she's trying to keep her child away from the dangers she went through when she was younger. So in that sense, I can understand. I personally don't get this phenomenon of parents parenting their children over the internet.
Exactly. My thing is this. Do you remember, okay, you guys remember when, during the time, there were chat rooms on the online, right?
Okay.
Yeah, there was a lot of that going on with especially with underage girls that were putting a lot of things on those chat rooms, and you know, like you said, something would happen to the child, especially in the event that they meet the person and some harm is done. But, however, I feel that true parents should discipline their children, but on the internet, that's kind of, I don't know, going a little steep, if you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. And I
it
think
is.
if you as the parent and you feel that your child has done something, especially it's not the way it was where back in the 70s or the 80s or the 90s where,
right,
if a child did something, you disciplined them by, you know, getting out the belt or grounding them and say,
well,
you can stay in the house for a week.
That's still around in some families. I hope to,
yes,
let you know that.
But
still around
at the same time, this one is much – I think this one is actually crazier from the sense that your shame of your youth. Let's say,
right,
you broke in – you threw rocks at somebody's window. And
yeah,
you went on Facebook, or the mother went on Twitter or whatever other social media there is, and then,
yeah,
recorded the fact that this is what you did wrong, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. It's not like it's something that's going to say, well, I learned my lesson, whatever.
No.
This is something that's going to be around for years.
Yeah, it's gonna, and you know what, being that...
Hey, guys, hold on one second. I have a caller on the air now. Hello?
All right.
Hello?
Oh, is Wilson X?
Yeah. Yeah, of course. What would it be?
Oh, of course.
Hello?
Of
Hello?
Course, Milton.
Well, I got another caller on here. Hello?
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 Yes,
yeah,
can you
caller?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, hi, everybody.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
Hi. I'm calling in reference to the, to the child shaming on internet, Facebook. Okay, I agree. Yeah, I agree with what she did. We're in a new millennium right here. Like, these are social times, like, where everything is different as opposed to our generation. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay.
You?
Wow.
Everything is different. And then she's 13 years old, still wet behind the ears. doesn't know nothing. Like, you know, and then, like, the videos and, I mean, yeah, like, the music videos and what they publicize nowadays, where they glamorize, okay, like, females selling themselves short. I swear, like, they have to sell themselves in order to gain a male, a man's attention, like a sugar daddy or whatever. Not knowing, okay, what goes, you know, not knowing the females, I mean, a 13-year-old who's still wet behind the ears, doesn't know, like, what hole goes in what. And they're, you know, it doesn't know, like, the real danger that goes behind. And they're like, okay, they're just, you know, posting these pictures, selling themselves short, posting these pictures naked or whatever, trying to, like, find that attention.
Exactly.
Whatever they're lacking on in their real life, but not knowing they're attracting, like, the dangers or whatever. So the mother, okay, is extreme. I agree. It is a bit extreme. But the mother, being that she's walked in those shoes, she's trying to save her daughter's life. As to where she doesn't, like, okay, make the same mistake. So she's doing what she has to do. And I cannot stand, I have to vent this out, I cannot stand. This is what I hate about today and the social media, the Facebook and whatever, because it's so judgmental. My goodness, it's so judgmental.
And you know what else, too?
If the mother, okay, and God knows what the mother did beforehand, okay, behind closed doors. Maybe the mother tried to talk to her. Maybe the mother tried to ground her. Maybe the mother and whatever. And the girls, especially teenage girls, they are so sneaky. So sneaky that the mother had to, like, do what she had to do to get on her level, like, to make her understand maybe the public shaming were, like, not reality or some sense into the 13-year-old, you know, reality. I mean, into the girl's mind or whatever.
Yeah.
Right. But where I was going at, where social media is, that everybody is so judgmental, because when it hits the fan and the daughter grows up, and if this wasn't, like, taken care of today, and the daughter grows up to be, like, a prostitute, a drug addict, killing someone, then the blame will, like, lie on the mother, you know? And it's just, society sucks balls, I'm telling you. This is what I cannot stand about Facebook and Twitter and all that, because everybody is so judgmental. Unless you walk in that mother's shoes and know firsthand how she tried to handle the situation, and if you came off better than her, then your child is, like, the model citizen of the United States where he or she became the president and Ivy League school all paid for, then people shouldn't even talk. People shouldn't even judge or whatever.
Well, see, here's the problem with that, and this is the reason why I've always had the issue with it, is because the context involved.
Milton, I'm still here. Put my little two-piece in the whole situation. See, what this all comes to is a lack of control. Obviously, the 13-year-old girl has a lack of self-control. I can even say the mother has a lack of self-control because she's trying to punish her child over the internet. See, and that's a whole other dynamic, like, which is insane. You can't be trying to discipline your children over the internet. That just shows a lack of control, lack of common sense. But the problem is this, or the solution is simple to me. If you control, if she's 13 or 13-year-old child has a Facebook page anyway.
Yeah.
She shouldn't have that.
That's supposed to be on there. It shouldn't be happening in the first place.
Number two, if she has an account, you can control that.
Yeah.
You can monitor that. No, you can't. Obviously, one of us hasn't been a parent.
Like, teenagers especially are so sneaky. You could, like, monitor.
They are.
You can always go behind your back. 13 years old. Sneaky this, sneaky that.
You're supposed to be the parent. You got to control that.
And even more so, the danger of actually putting that on the internet. Like you said before, you said that when people see the video, they're judgmental. The reason why people that watch that are judgmental is because they don't have the same context. Anything that happened prior to that video, they don't know what has happened. So when you put a video up on there without putting the proper context involved, you're going to have the comments of the being judgmental and those kinds of things happening because all they know of is the child did something they weren't supposed to do. The parent thinking that they've lost all, they've built at their mind's wits, have lost all control. They have to do this to actually send the message to that child. And it can be done differently.
Wow.
Let me just say one thing. Let me just say one thing about, I agree with the fact that teenagers are sneaky, because the thing is, yes, as parents, you're supposed to control what your child does on the web. But when the parent is not there, kids get out of control. They're like prisoners that just got out of jail, if you understand what I'm saying. they go wild and crazy. They do absolutely a bunch of uninhibited things. They go online. They put a bunch of videos. And later when it comes out, that's when the parent finds out what the child is doing. And by that time, it's already too late because the damage has been done.
Once the parent finds out, you just shut down the internet access. That's all there is to it.
Exactly.
It's not that simple. That's not simple. They can go to the library. They can do it at school. You have to understand that you can't, unless you can chain that child to your hip 24/7, there is no way to truly to stop that kind of access.
And also,
you have to work. You have a job.
Really?
Because the mother could post on Craigslist somewhere off the grid, and the mother never finding out. And then
you know what else?
Like
children, and also these girls, they could also open accounts under different names. They could
exactly.
And that's the problem right there.
You never know.
But also
a lot of that,
I think a lot of that comes involved with how in tune the parent is to raising that child. A lot of the things that happen, we know kids when they're at that young age can either be sneaky, they can do devious things, they can go ahead and with their friends out there putting them, telling them something in their ear, well, you can do this, you can get away with that.
It's up to the parents to be able to know.
If a parent, and we know it happens in certain instances with parents and their children, sometimes the parent isn't as close with the child for whatever reason. But in general, the bottom line is, as the parent has to exhaust every known resource to make sure that that child doesn't go astray in that area, because it's going to all fall back to that parent.
Okay,
exactly.
Sean, hold on one second. There's two different sides of arguments I'm hearing right here. Anisha, the female quarter, and K-Dog have points, because guess what? They have raised children. Milton X and Sean, you don't have children on your own. You have your own right opinion, but you not really have experienced it completely. Kids
True.
Are very sneaky. So they understand how to. Remember, this girl did her Facebook account 5 times in a different way. I could go to my friend and go to her phone and set up my own account. And guess what? As a mother, especially single mother, try to do her thing, try to do the right thing. We don't know the whole history about this mother. Yes, she did so wrong. But to post this, not everybody agree about her posting the video, but guess what? She did it. That's like the same way the mother went out there to get her kid in a riot. To save her child. Once again, as a parent, you do what you can to save your child. What do you agree with you or not?
But they're doing things smartly and intelligently, and they're doing the wrong thing. You can do the wrong thing for right reasons.
Hold on one second. You do what you can, no matter what, to get your child safe. But like what happened to that girl? If a guy like myself, hey, I click on her. Wait a minute, I find out she's 13. I freak out and I kill her.
You have some sick people out there who, when they see the video, they won't even care how young the child is, because you know some people whose minds are sick, they'll go ahead and molest that child or something or something even worse.
And that's the reason
why I'm not as off
about this particular instance as I am about others due to the fact of her age. And it's not like she actually went and 100% completely embarrassed her the way I've seen others, like having her hair cut or, you know, whipping her on camera or any of that other stuff. This was a little bit different in the sense that she went on and she basically was trying to tell people that were frequenting the page. She's not 19. She's not promiscuous. And she's still in school. She's still a kid. And she does not want anybody to try and attack or rape or do anything to her child.
Right.
That extent, I have no issue with.
Me neither.
Okay. So, Anisha, what do you think about that statement?
No, I mean, I don't have an...
okay, Anisha's still hungover.
Yeah.
No. I don't agree with disciplining your... when parents discipline on the internet. I don't agree with that.
We both
because
agree
of
on
the
that
fact,
point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Because of the fact that once it's over and done with, the punishment is there. On the internet, it doesn't go away.
No,
that will be there.
Permanent.
It's permanent. I don't care if you erase it from your page. It's still searchable.
Yeah. People
That's
still
why I don't agree with that. But, I mean,
she's doing
what she needs to do to raise her kid, you know?
Yeah, by any means. And, you know, some parents, this is how it is. Some parents will raise their children, especially when it comes to discipline, by any means necessary.
Uh-huh.
They'll do whatever it takes to discipline, whether it's embarrassing the child online or whether it's embarrassing the child just to get their point across, just to teach that child a lesson.
But see,
okay,
there's always that issue that
it
in
is.
Doing that, it will backfire. And
yeah,
that's the issue that you have to
that
have to think
will.
About.
Hold on, Milton X, what do you have to say?
Well, listen, to me, I'm a bit more old school sort of certain things like that. I believe that, you know, everything seems to be out there for public consumption. You know, also, there's a different world now. So back in the day, you're in a two-parent home. And I feel like if we were back in those days, a lot of this stuff wouldn't happen. You know what I'm saying? Where, like, the mother and the father were on the same page. Because one parent obviously can't, you know, monitor the child all the time. That's when you need two parents involved. You know, even back in the day, from the community were, you know, raised the child up. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
So
and
we need to get back to that to prevent these type of things from happening. Because the whole embarrassing thing, let's be honest, in this society, there's no shame. There's no embarrassment out here. No shame anyway.
Right.
It's a moot point.
Yeah.
She gonna, basically, if you don't monitor her activity, she's going to go right back on the internet again. We'll be the same thing again. So,
that's
why I say you got to monitor the child. I know if they're 13, this, you the parent. You got to control of that foolishness. You know what I'm saying? You can't be a friend anymore. And that's why I see this a lot.
Well,
I work in these schools. I've seen too many parents out here trying to be their people friends, if their kids friends instead of their parents.
That's exactly the problem, because this is the thing. Parents, especially today's parents, it's totally, totally, totally different from when we were growing up. Because right now, like Milton said, too many parents are trying to be the child's friend instead of being the parent. And that's where all the respect, all the discipline goes right out the window.
Well, because there's no line. There needs to be a line.
And when
the lines are blurred, that's when there's obviously going to be issues, because then the child's going to look at you like a friend, not an authority figure.
No, that's where the respect goes away, because you're sitting there talking to your child like you would your friend. I mean, how do you expect that child to act? How do you expect that child to, you know, to act or to learn anything?
And how many times have we talked about the era of people who have children and they let the television raise the kid?
Exactly.
As opposed to giving
the parent
giving that actual learning to the child. You can't do this. You can't do that. Well,
no.
I'm getting ready to go out. So here, sit them in front of the cable and look at TV for 4 hours.
And you know what? You cannot leave your child to watch anything on TV, especially nowadays, the reality shows, these trashy reality shows that are raising our children and giving them bad ideas.
Cool.
You understand what I'm saying?
Hold on, guys. Susie, what do you think about that?
What happened?
Susie?
Yeah.
What do you think about that statement?
About how society, well, today's market, while they talking to you.
It's looking better.
Come on,
put it
in.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're here. Yeah, I agree. That's why these kids nowadays, they're like off the hook. Because, okay, look, it's sort of like 50 Cent, okay, all these videos, these, you know, where they're dancing half naked, and and they're calling out all types of and whatnot. And then, like, you know, I don't know, like how, you know, these training programs, how it's okay to have one-night stands and the truffle butter. Like, I just found out via Facebook what's the truffle butter. And everybody's glamorizing, like, okay, just, you know, all these, not having same sex, it's just sexing without, you know, the man's chivalry and, you know, make a man work for it. So that message right there, like how everything is glamorized nowadays, you know, where the one-night stands and everything. Hello?
Yeah, we can still hear you.
Oh, how everything is, like, glamorized where, you know, with this aspect, I should say, how it's glamorized. It sounds, you know, to the 13-year-olds and the 12-year-olds that it's okay to, like, sell yourself short, that it's okay to sell your body for nothing, that it's okay for mental abuse and whatever. Henceforth, that's why we have, you know, we're having this topic nowadays, where the 13-year-old is videotaping herself naked in order to gain man's attention. And God knows what issues she's, you know, she's dealing with. Maybe she's dealing with a daddy issue, you know, missing father issue or whatever, and she's, you know, trying to gain attention in the wrong places.
Yeah, we know that, but there's some sort of deep-rooted issue somewhere. The issue
is
not as the parent trying to figure out what it is.
And it's an initial thing. There's some deeper situations going on here. This is a symptom of it right now.
Well, okay. All I got to say is that, you know, and I agree with what Susie said. You know, you look at, like you said, TV, letting TV raise your child, but yet look at these reality shows. What are they showing these young girls to? What example are they setting for these young girls? What kind of an example? You look at shows like, I could call them out, Love and Hip Hop, basketball wise. You're teaching young girls to go ahead and, you know, drop it like it's hot on the video, and guys are going to fall and all this stuff and, you know, mess around with a basketball player or rapper, and that's the way to do it. But I could understand where this mother's coming from to protecting a child, but there's a way to do it. There's a different way to do it. Take away all access.
Wow, guys, this is
What different way to do it, though? Like, the mother, she was probably back painted to a corner as to where this is, like, the only outlet. You never know. Like, the mother, I'm sure if she went to this extreme, I'm sure she must have, like, spoken to her. She must have punished her. She must have grounded her. And as I said before, like, girls, especially girls, they're very sneaky, especially at that age. Once they have their mind set on something, and especially when they're dealing with some sort of issue, they're going to do whatever the hell they want by any means necessary. So the mother has to, like, do
also
what she has to do.
And also there's friend influence, too, because they go ahead and listen to their friends, and they'll go ahead and do what their friends are doing.
Exactly. It's like the blind leading the blind. So if the girl, little girl gets in trouble, let's say she gets knocked up at 13 years old, she's not going to go to her mom. She's going to go to her friends. Or if the girl starts dating a guy that she really likes, the friends who don't know any better at 13 years old is going to advise her, oh, you should sleep with him, give him a blow job, blah, 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 like right there, you know, at the corners or at their school or whatever. You know, instead of, like, you know, doing it the old-fashioned way, like, you know, values, self-worth, love yourself first, put yourself first. You know, like, those values, like, whatever happened to that? Like, what happened to those type of values? You don't have that anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, well, guys, thank you so much. But, like I said, this is going to be a short show today. I'd like to continue this next week with these topics.
Yeah, part two.
We have a lot to talk about.
Continue part two.
Yes. Susie, Milton, and
Hey,
dog. Thank you so much for calling, guys. But we'll
continue
this
guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Enjoy the weekend. You're welcome.
Enjoy the weekend, guys.
You too.
All right. Nisha, are you still there? Sean,
I'm
are you still there?
Here.
Yes, we're still here. Well, I told you this was going to be a loaded show.
And you were right.
And we're going to continue this next week, but before we wrap everything up, as always, Anitra B, since you're the birthday girl, what's on your mind? You got 3 minutes. Go right ahead.
Like we were saying earlier, this is Memorial Weekend.
Today, folks, we have to go.
This is Memorial Weekend. I wanted to quickly thank all our soldiers who are serving, who served, and, you know, thank you.
Yes. That's my point exactly, my sentiments exactly. Hopefully, if you're going to be relaxing and enjoying this weekend, do it safely. Do not drink and drive at all. Everybody, please be safe so that you can enjoy this holiday weekend, and then we can hear you call us next week.
Okay, wow. Okay, so here's my final thought, a.k.a. a little bit of a pipe bomb.
Okay.
A few weeks ago, there was a challenge. You know, everybody do these stupid challenges on the internet because, once again, the internet is the ruler of the world, social media. But there was this Eric Shepard challenge. I don't know the whole history. I don't want to get into it. And I really don't give a damn. But it started by Erica Walker. And it was a picture of two black ladies stomping on the American flag.
Mm.
And so they challenged everyone to post pictures of themselves stomping on the American flag. I guess it would be retaliation of what's going on with the Baltimore riots, the cop killing, the racism. I don't give a damn. The problem I have with this is, yes, America is not a perfect country. Just like any other country in the world. But that flag that you're stepping on represents something. It's a symbol of this country. And this country gave you the freedom to express yourself. This country gave you the freedom to talk what's on your mind. That flag alone, a lot of people die for that flag, but they believe in that flag. They believe in the symbol of that flag. So for you to step on that flag as a fight the power type of nonsense, you're not stepping on that flag. You step on the millions of thousands of people who lose their lives that fight and serve this great country of ours.
Exactly.
So for the Memorial Day weekend, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a problem with this country, if you have a problem with this flag, trust me, I can speak for all the people out there, please leave and go. Go to Africa, go to Italy, go anywhere you want. If you have a problem with this country, if you have a problem with the flag. But there's no reason whatsoever for you to do a challenge, let's just say, and stomp on a flag and post it on social media, try to make a statement. That's not a proper way to make a statement. It's like peeing or spitting on the people who died for this great country of ours. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, I am the High Rod, a.k.a. the King of Kings, and you are listening to The Absolute Truth with the one
Sean
and only...
Black.
And happy birthday once again. Go out, have yourself fun. Ladies and gentlemen, have a safe weekend. Tune in next week to part two of this crazy show we call The Absolute Truth. And then, as always, the pleasure was
all yours.
Hey, Anisha, don't bother me for the rest of the day. Bye-bye.
Bye.